1340 96.5 KVGC, 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Time for a look at the news for a Wednesday, the 25th day of October. On the phone with me this morning is Calaveras Unified School Superintendent Mark Campbell. And it's, well, Mark, back to school today, huh?
Yeah, back to school today. So obviously mixed emotions on many levels, but extremely pleased that our students are coming back.
So the vote was 118-4 to ratify the tentative agreement, and that new agreement has what language dealing with class sizes and create safe schools and also make some changes to the salary schedule. So you want to elaborate on those a bit for us, Mark?
Yeah, trying to be obviously as concise as possible. The agreement calls for a 4% salary increase for our teachers, which by extension will mean a 4% salary increase for all staff, classified and management. It also calls for the formation of a district-wide safety committee, lowering of class sizes, 24-1 in grades 2K-3. Currently, they're 26-1 on average. Next year, we'll push those down to 24-1. Modify the salary structure to provide some added benefits to teachers that are on the lower end of the salary schedule as well as the upper end of the salary schedule. And then career tech ed teachers were increased in their salary by days and by hours to make them commensurate with all teachers. That obviously in the past was not the case. And then really some other peripheral issues that we were able to tie up in negotiations.
Well, Mark, so I'll ask you the question, where'd the money come from? Where's this money coming from to do all this now?
I think that the question is, where will the money come from? Because, again, this is trying to thread the needle between providing the compensation that our staff deserves, but also protecting the fiscal stability moving forward. So when we're looking at this, and I know this sounds somewhat odd, to those not really in the mix of school budgets and negotiations and finding that balance, we will be discussing budget cuts at the next board meeting that are necessary to help offset the impact of the decisions that were made through negotiations.
Mark, would that include closing, is it Railroad Flat Elementary or West Point Elementary that you've talked about before?
Yeah, I think, and we dealt with this back in 2014 as well, when we made decisions at the negotiating table and then went right back to the table and to board meetings trying to find a way to afford that. So we're back at this stage again where we're going to have to come up with a list, and that list will include the items you just mentioned as well as many, many other items. It'll be a pretty comprehensive list spanning the scope of the district that the board's going to have to look at and pick and choose, and these are not going to be easy conversations or decisions, but we're going to have to pick and choose areas of reductions moving forward to include the items that you mentioned as well as many, many other items that are really painful to consider.
Mark, the part about the safe schools, I don't quite understand that. What do you mean safe schools? I mean, I can drop my baby off at the front steps of the school and you'll take him in? I mean, like a firehouse? What does safe schools mean?
Yeah, no, good point, good question. So there are concerns about student discipline issues that have been kind of escalating over the last few years. Behavioral issues with students, both students with special needs, but also students in general ed, that have had some campus-wide ramifications. So I think the main issue that the teachers wanted to address were to have more comprehensive safety plans in place, but also a mechanism by which to address safety issues as they arise. So this will be a committee with board members, administrators, classified and certificated staff, and really just kind of being strategic. What are the priority areas in terms of classroom safety and campus safety that need to be addressed, and then how can we collaboratively go about addressing them?
Have there been attacks on teachers?
We have had some students who have demonstrated some violent tendencies, and staff have been injured. The incidents have been isolated, but very pronounced. And when I say isolated, I don't mean ongoing. But obviously when they happen, we take them seriously. Mm-hmm. And if staff feel unsafe and if staff feel that we need to have more stringent plans in place, because we do have plans in place for individual students and all students, and they need a mechanism by which to better address them, and right. this committee should be able to allow for that.
So, Mark, what was the big hang-up on this, the salary portion of this?
Yeah, it is, but it all came down to the very, very end. It became about salary and just the gap that existed between both sides in terms of what one side felt we could afford and what the other side felt that we could afford. And that gap in the perspective on our budget really drove the discussion and into an elongated process until we could come up with a compromise.
Mark, have you done, obviously you did, salary surveys of comparable sized districts like a district in Tuolumne County, a district in, you know, how do they compare with Amador County salaries, Tuolumne County, San Joaquin County salaries? How does Calaveras fit in there?
Yeah, when we drew up a list of comparable schools, and we did this obviously through the negotiation and mediation process, no matter how you looked at it, we were in the lower half. In some areas, down closer to the bottom, which is just a reality of a budget situation. And again, trying to thread that needle to make sure that our salary schedule is more comparable, better, more favorable when compared with other districts. But at the same time, accepting the reality of our situation, again, trying to find that middle ground.
Well, Mark Campbell, thank you very much. You've been very open and have always been available to us when we've called you. So we'll move forward now. We hope the wounds can heal. And again, it's all for the kids. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the kids, it's all for them. So,
right. I think that's the perfect way to end it because this is about students. It needs to be about students. And no matter what's happened in the past, we have to heal, we have to repair, and we have to move forward together.
All right. Mark, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Have a great day.
Well, Calaveras County supervisors agreed Tuesday, 3-2, to send the cannabis ordinance back to the Planning Commission to craft a strict regulatory program for the industry in favor of an all-out ban. Now, under the suggestions, farming would be prohibited in residential zones. Citing previous discussion from the Planning Commission, outdoor farming would be allowed on Ag 1, Agriculture Preserve, and General Forestry zones, limiting the industry to about 60 applicants within the current system. Now, indoor farming would be even more restricted, with such operations only allowed in light industry and business park zones. Now, this direction at least temporarily delays a cannabis ban that has been in the works since January. It's been the topic of discussion the last couple weeks, prompting three hearings on the proposed legislation. It was also suggested the county inspect grow sites twice a year and perform soil testing twice a year. Anyone caught using illegal chemicals would then have their licenses revoked. Regulatory discussions will now shift to the Planning Commission. No date yet announced for those meetings.
And the Amador Board of Supervisors have voted down a permit that would have allowed a controversial cell phone tower on Willow Creek Road, south of Highway 16. Supervisors heard an appeal of a Planning Commission vote to deny the permit in September. As before the Planning Commission, several neighbors testified against the proposed 136-foot tower. County Council Greg Gillott stated at the start of the hearing that under state law, the board could not consider alleged alleged health impacts of a cell tower, so claims that the tower would cause cancer were not brought up. But neighbors still objected to the appearance of the tower in the rural area. In other business, the board gave its approval to a countywide tourism promotion district that would collect an additional fee on hotel stays to fund tourism promotion here in Amador County. Also approved, a $210,000 loan to the Jackson Valley Irrigation District to help pay for repairs to the Lake Amador Dam, and $20,000 from a Veteran Memorial Fund to help pay for repairs at the public pool in Plymouth.
Well, a three-vehicle accident around 2:15 yesterday afternoon tied up traffic south of Jackson for a time. According to reports, the collision happened at the intersection of South 49 and Middle Bar. According to officials on scene, a blue sedan turning left in the north lane of Highway 49, a pickup behind, slowed and stopped, and another pickup failed to see the other stopping, and the two collided. The first pickup then lurched forward and collided with the rear of the sedan. After the collision, the sedan proceeded to make the turn and continue down Middle Bar. After arriving on scene, CHP and Jackson Police went in search of the vehicle and driver. Passengers in the first pickup taken to Sutter Amador with minor injury.
And a solo vehicle accident on Highway 88 shut down traffic for a short time around 7:30 yesterday morning. According to reports, the vehicle was traveling westbound when the driver allowed it to drift to the right, striking the embankment. The momentum and speed of the vehicle caused it to spin around, striking the embankment several times. The accident caused extensive damage to the front, rear, and side of the vehicle. The driver was transported to Sutter Amador for treatment. Emergency crews cleared the debris from the highway, and the roadway was reopened within an hour.
And Caltrans accepting applications for those interested in becoming chain installers. Permits are available for highways 488, 89, 108, and 207 in Amador, Calaveras, Alpine, and Tuolumne counties. Now, a mandatory orientation class for new applicants will be held Thursday the 26th at 9 a.m. at the Caltrans Maintenance Office in Angels Camp. A written and performance exam will be held immediately following. Successful applicants may purchase their permits after that exam. The cost for permit and ID bib is $200. Now, returning chain installers with no violations not required to attend the orientation. They may purchase their 1718 permit from the Calaveras Maintenance Office in Angels Camp. Call 736-0187 to schedule an appointment or to get additional info on the Chain Installer Program.
And Jackson Elementary invites you to their annual Fall Festival Friday from 4:30 to 7. Everyone is welcome to this community fundraising event featuring food, carnival-style games for kids of all ages, a cakewalk, dunk a teacher, and more. Tickets are only 50 cents each, and you can purchase tickets in order to play games, buy food, and participate in the various activities. Tickets, of course, being sold at Jackson Elementary School. And that's a look at local news on this Gold Country Wednesday morning. From the KVGC News Center,
I'm JD.
And I'm Jim Geedy reporting.